Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Authentic Faith Podcast. My name is Brad Lawson, and I'm hosting in partnership with the wonderful and amazing Mariah McLeod to my right, and we are inviting into the conversation these amazing and strong and powerful leaders that we get to do life with. John Will, our youth pastor, and who also does many more things for the ministry alongside us. He's part of the teaching team and much more. And Jemmy Prudhomme, who just basically occupies the highest office in the church everywhere she goes. It's like people just love you and they would walk through a wall for you. And we all love you. And so, we're getting into a conversation.
Question and answer day.
It is. Before we get into that, can we talk about what's happened? Just briefly, because people haven't heard from you guys and they haven't seen us in a long time. And so we're back. We're doing the podcast. So what's up, John? You got a mustache.
I do have a mustache. Last week I decided, you know, I'm going to do the mustache thing again. It's been about 3 years since the last building. I did it. And then this morning I thought, all right, is it time for it to go? Nope.
It's not. So
because because I want to be able to go back and watch this podcast episode and be like, I got a mustache. Because it's not going
to
be here forever.
Here's what I'll say is Jemmy gets to talk about what she's doing. Also, they're going to share a mic. So if you're watching.
That's all he's got right now is a mustache, though?
There's much.
There's more story?
That's the update on my life.
Okay.
I thought I was out of the playing with my facial hair phase, like as a hobby, because men do that. Men, a lot of young men, they craft their facial hair almost like it's art.
Their personality.
And it goes in phases of their life. And I thought I was out of that phase of my life where I actually was doing that. But my barber, her name's Kayla, and my wife, Shanna, both think it looks good. And they want me to try it for winter. And so I'm going to go for it. And so Shanna's going to get
what?
A winter beard.
Because it looks...
Oh, it's, big one?
I'm going to go for
oh
it.
My.
A winter
Santa.
Beard.
Like
a yeah. Share the mic. Share the mic.
Like a big biblical beard. Like
it's so cold here, you gotta keep warm.
It's gonna be like, what's the Bruce Almighty?
Oh, you know, yeah. Evan Almighty.
Evan Almighty, it grows like back. Big, yeah, Evan Almighty.
Yeah.
It grows back really like fast. Moses. That's me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Like Moses.
When Garrett and I were first married, he had, well, it was like the time, it was like 2005, but he had like the sideburns and like the this, like the little.
Back?
Yeah. Like, it's so funny because all that stuff becomes very dated at some point. So our kids are like, whoa, Dad, you're rocking like the chops. It's awesome.
You should have seen me in high school with bleached hair.
Oh, man. All the different changes.
All the stuff. What's new in your life, Jemmy?
Well, we had such a great summer. We did a lot of children outreach ministries. We had incredible VBS. We had a lot of outreaches for the city that were really impactful with the James Storehouse and putting shoes on foster kids and just doing a lot of fun stuff in the city. Had a really powerful worship night that was really impactful. Just, you know, a lot of fun stuff. We had the youth group is growing in leaps and bounds under John's leadership. And it's just really fun to watch all these kids
Amazing.
On fire for the Lord. It's awesome.
We love it. So much
Summer
goodness
camp.
Happening. Mariah and I are sitting here because we're co-hosting today, and Mariah is actually going to ask some questions. So today we thought it'd be fun to do a Q&A. So we got a bunch of questions from you out there, and we're going to do our best to dive into them. Some of them are very serious. Some are super silly. We're going to go all in on both, and we're going to give you the best that we have. We are sharing a mic on one side of the table, so we're going to give each other room and maybe
some pause.
Share the time so that way we're properly.
I could really just listen to Jemmy talk all day, so yeah. She just needs the mic. We're just gonna leave it over here.
Yeah, so we're gonna properly connect to audio in the process.
Yeah.
So Mariah, tell us what's
this
happening next.
This won't be the last time we're doing a question answer, because this is fun. We like to see what you guys are thinking. So okay, first question, you guys can decide who wants to answer this one. How do we help out? How do we help our single people to get out there without fear of rejection? Dun, dun, dun. We can all.
I think John needs to speak on this.
There seems to be this single label that is just following me around.
Oh, single label.
So question, can you repeat the question just slightly?
How do we, end of it? Without fear of rejection, like how do we get our single people to make moves and get out there without fear of rejection?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think first and foremost, it's being absolutely confident in who you are and what you're doing in life. Absolutely most important thing, because regardless of who you go date or who you meet or who you try to shoot your shot at or all these slang that we can use, right? We're talking sync, right?
Being sync. Y'all need to shoot your shot.
You know, shoot your shot, right? Whatever it is, you have to be fully confident in yourself, because that's going to happen.
And you miss how many of the shots you never shoot?
Oh, 100%. Here's the thing you got to know too about being single is that you're going to, I'll say this as well, is that rejection becomes less and less of an impact when you actually go out there and try.
That's so
and
good.
You actually do go out there and shoot your shot. And what I mean by that is, so I've been a believer about 9 years now. When I first stepped into my faith, I was in a long-term relationship with like a high school sweetheart. The Lord called me out of that relationship. Since then, I have not stepped into a full, like another long-term relationship with somebody in the faith. But I bring all that up because the first few years, I'm like so lost in my own head about what dating is as a Christian that I'm not even going on dates. I'm not even meeting girls. I'm not even having fun and figuring out who it is that I want to spend time with. So if I had to really guess sum it up with the idea of fear of rejection is that it's not about being rejected and it not working out. It's really about you discovering who it is that you want to go experience life with.
Super good. I remember with Shanna, she didn't reject me, but she did not call me back when she first gave me her number and I made the first call. And that fear of rejection, it's a real thing, but you have to go for it. I mean, what are your options? And if they reject you, you were never accepted in the first place. So why does it matter? So you have to really almost become, not reckless is the wrong word, but it's the mindset kind of where you just say, I'm just not so concerned about consequence that I would allow it to prevent me from entering into potentially something that God has for me. So open conversations. I also think psychologically, social media has made it nearly impossible for some people to connect the way we used to connect when you see somebody that you have a chemistry with or
right.
that you like or you're attracted to, and you walk up to them and you say, good to meet you. My name's Brad. Or good to meet you. What are you doing here?
Break the ice.
Where are you from? Oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, what do you do? And just talk. Because right now it's all about like digital connection, which isn't inauthentic connection. But if that's your only connection, it can be superficial connection.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. And what I want to add to that with the social media and the dating in general is social media can also, whether you want to admit it or not, create a false image of what you think the person you're looking for should look like or should be doing.
Filters.
Or what this, if I see this person in real life, they were looking for somebody that looks like this on Instagram. That's a big deal.
I'm going to keep her name anonymous, but I was hanging out with a crew of young ladies.
It was me. Just kidding.
No, with a group of women. And I decided to take a look on the dating app that someone was on. Because I was challenging, I said, there's like a million fish in the sea. Get out there. And this anonymous girl who I love said, have you seen what's actually out there? Look at my app right now. And so she hands me the app.
Big fish.
And
big
I start
fish.
Scrolling.
Here's a puppy.
And it's like,
here's a puppy.
It's like I X'd out Show probably you. 30 right in front of her. She was totally cool with me X'ing out. And I was going, okay, this guy's muscles right off the get-go. She goes, all they want to do is post about the fish they've caught. And it's like they're fishing strings. And I was just going through and I was going, not working, not working, not working, not working. And I'm like, yeah, it's hopeless. That's where I landed. I saw one profile recently that kind of got me on Twitter. It was funny. Somebody reposted. I just got a match with a guy on this certain dating app who's climbed Mount Everest twice. Think about that. The man has climbed Mount Everest twice and he still can't find a girlfriend. That's how difficult it is to find someone to date in 2022. It is hard.
The dating life, it's very interesting. And I would say it feels like there's just so many factors involved that shouldn't be involved. But just to circle back, because I know
picking up
she's
picture.
Pulling Please, him up right picture. Now. She's like, no, that's some privacy stuff.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Sorry. There's a cat. Anyways,
guys will need their cats on their dating picture. What are we doing?
I don't have a cat, so if anybody, I'm just kidding. Oh, what I want to say really quick as we're going to the next question is I would so much rather live a life knowing that I tried than that I didn't. So when it comes to the idea of rejection, it's like I will 100% go for it with my whole heart and say and tell myself that I did than the idea that like what could have been, what would have been, or given into fear. So.
For
that's
sure.
That'd be my advice.
And while Jemmy and Mariah are getting prepped, just to say this, I also think we don't understand how to pick up the signs. And so I think in the friend zone, you get signs. You need to be able to read the tea leaves on situations. And if you're not self-aware, and sometimes we struggle with like, I'm not going to call it narcissism, but it's a form of that where our worlds all revolve around us, right? And it's all what you want, what you're doing, it's everything's here. Even your prayers, everything's right here. And you're not looking outward to read the room and see what the signs are and where you're going and then making decisions, not based on what you want to happen, but based on what's being presented to you. Does that make sense? Like, so sometimes that requires like, and it also requires that like, you can sometimes, by the way, we have our coffee mugs here. They're not for sale online, so you can't buy them. So don't accuse us of trying to sell merchandise. These are strictly basically given away at church. But there's a piece there about being able to read the room, you know, and understanding who you are and having a right assessment of where everyone else is, you know, when you get into conversation with people that you'd like to date or go to the next level with.
Yeah. And really waiting on the Lord too. I mean, apart from giving your life to the Lord, it's like who you marry is probably the most important decision you'll make in your life. And so, you know, just really having that presence of mind of seeking God first and praying and fasting for an answer. It's like the people that I know in my life who have had like the most successful marriages are not someone who is settled or someone who's just dated around, but someone who is really intentional about seeking the Lord first. And then it's like, seek kingdom first and all this will be added unto you. And then the Lord opens a door where it was like somebody that you never even saw or thought was even in your league. And then the Lord blesses you with an incredible marriage. And so it's really about that, because it's like when you're lonely or operating out of fear of being alone or whatever, it's like, you know, it's just having that knowing where your heart's at. It's like the motivation of why you're searching for somebody. It's like when you give it over to the Lord, it's like he wants to bless you. He's so good. He wants to bless us. It's like, and I know we've had that conversation with single people in our ministry. It's like the Lord wants to give you a beautiful spouse or a wonderful husband. It's like those things are important to him. Who you have children with is like the most important thing, you know? And so it's like, we don't want to rush it. We just want the good stuff. And the Lord gives good gifts. He's a
very
father.
Deep topic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like, so I listen to so many podcasts, not just about singleness, but like that whole topic. And it's deep. We could go so deep. I also think like, hey, you know what? This wasn't it. And move on. Like, it's not just we don't need to take rejection so personally. Like, you know what? If it were supposed to happen, it would happen. Like, if it's meant to be, it'll be. Like,
and I think even psychologically as believers, we struggle with turning the page.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like closing doors. I just closed two major doors in my life. And still after slamming the doors shut, I still think, well, what if?
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and you can, what it actually does is it keeps you from entering into the next thing and the new thing that God's doing, because your mind is always somewhere you're not.
Well, I think like being double-minded, I know we've talked about this. I was having a conversation with Brooke too, and she was saying,
nobody knows who Brooke is.
Brooke, who's one of the most amazing women that
she
goes
is
for
amazing.
Church.
That's why I want love you her to so say, much. Like, nobody knows who she
we
is.
We love her so much.
We gotta say but we more were, specifics.
Yeah. Brooke with Sundream. She's incredible. We love her.
Yes.
But she had said something to me about having closure once you make a decision, because I've made that decision and I know it was the Lord. And so there's liberty in knowing that I've made a decision. And that was really impactful to me because I'm like, oh, that's right. I've made a decision. The Lord said this. And it's okay. You don't want to be someone who's constantly looking back. Like, no. You want to be looking forward. It's like you miss out on what's going on in the room if you're thinking
about yesterday. Whoa.
So good.
Grieve it, feel it, move on. Mm. Ooh, that's hard. We've all had, we're closing doors, guys. Pruning. Okay, this is a fun one. Look how we took all that time for one great question. This is going to be interesting.
That was really good.
Okay. This is good. This one hits home for me right now. Do you ever think about having the ability to teleport?
The reality is, I do.
Yeah. Straight up this morning at like 4 a.m., I was sitting on my bed and I was like, God, can you just take me to Mexico? Like, because I missed the flight. Long story short, I missed my early 1 a.m. flight that I didn't know was today. And I was like, it's too late. God, just get me there. Like, in my pajamas and all, get me there. Like, it'd be so cool. But I did. I definitely thought about this today.
You know where my mind went? Was the rapture.
Yeah, totally.
It, like, being somewhere instantly because you're pulled someplace.
That's gnarly.
By an open door. Because we've actually talked about this with Bible prophecy stuff and... I don't want to get into eschatology today, but I would say that definitely hoping for the return of the Lord. And I believe what the Bible says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15, it says in a moment, in the snap of fingers, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be changed. Mm-hmm. It says, and the mortal will put on immortality and we will be changed from an earthly body to a spiritual body. And some of that is happening even now as we step into a born again experience as believers today. But there also, I believe there is going to be a literal time according to 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe, where we're actually meeting other believers in the air, caught up. I don't know when that's happening, but I know that like there will be a time where you're actually
all the way up.
It's called the snatching away, and I do believe strongly that that's happening. When that happens, I don't know, and how it happens, I don't know. I don't get into dates and times and all that, but I definitely believe the Bible reveals it. And so as far as teleporting goes, I actually do think about it.
They went through jail walls back in the day.
Yeah,
it's totally biblical. Yeah.
Remember Philip? He baptized the Ethiopian eunuch and then was snatched away.
Bam. It's gone.
It's harpazos, the word for rapture. Yeah. And the people say the rapture's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Yeah. Jesus said two will be sleeping in one bed. One will be taken, one will be left. Yeah. Two will be grinding in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. He said it's like a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. That what does a thief do? Comes in and steals and takes them away. What's the restraining force on the earth right now that stops evil from taking over? The church. What do you have to remove in order to have a tribulation period? The church. Like, there's a lot there.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways, right. Because as long teleporting. As I'm here, I'm not going to personally allow evil to take over my neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can only go so far. Why? Because we have authority, right. And we've actually been recommissioned to take possession. So, your teleport and question was a great question.
Yeah.
And all I want to say is, I don't say days there. Or times or hows or any of this. I just believe the Bible does teach about it, and wrestling with that and understanding when and how and all this, that stuff's not as important to me as like the reality that one day we're with Jesus.
Cool.
Yeah. Teleported in heaven.
You're
I don't
ready
know how
for
that
question.
Happens. Woo! Let's go. I was not ready for that question.
Yeah, but you were ready though.
Yeah, I was ready. Go.
I was thinking so much more on the side of just traffic and how it was created by the devil. And if I could never sit in traffic another day in my life, that would maybe be like a top three wish. So I'd teleport anytime I'm driving through LA.
I have heard a testimony. This is no joke from Dan McCollum. And he shares he's in heavy traffic on one side of a mountain. And no joke, he teleported to the other side of the mountain completely through the traffic.
Wow.
I know. I was like, nah, but he's
in his car.
In his car, in his literally. I know, no, I have.
John has something to say.
So take that, receive that. I don't know.
I'm not going to put down the conversation. I'm just going to say, wow.
You all said that it's possible. So I did better follow through.
I did say it was possible. It's in the Bible.
I have a traffic testimony, not from me. Obviously.
I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying it's a little shocking.
But circling all the way back to our last question, there was a guy that sat in traffic and the Lord told him to look to his right and he saw a blonde lady.
Ooh, he found
and the
her.
Lord told him that that was going to be his wife, and a year later he met her and married the same girl. So there's your traffic single, two questions in one testimony.
Wow, that was a total wrap up for the first two questions.
There it is.
Caleb, I love that. Do you have a this is about to, okay, so.
Oh gosh, here we go.
This is good, guys.
We didn't prep for
questions.
These. Just a heads up. We didn't prep. We wanted it to be authentic to who we are.
The thing is, we don't fear.
And on brand with our podcast.
We want to have talks. And this is just a shorter version. We want to like talk about this around tables and go deep. And it's all about love. Would you allow someone who is openly gay to attend church? If so, at what level can their involvement stop? Serving, leadership, etc.
Number one, this is a really good question, and I think it's a very relevant question. Mm-hmm. And I think there are many different people who have different opinions about this. And I'm not going to say what I believe about what other people teach or whatever. I'll just say, you know, as honestly as possible, what I read and how I interpret, you know, our responsibility as leaders in regard to, you know, that kind of thing. I had somebody the other day ask me, they said, are you an open and affirming church? And because there are a lot of churches that are, and I think it's a good question, and it's definitely one that we need to address. I would say that we are open to all peoples. We accept everyone as they are. Mm-hmm. We love without agenda.
Yeah.
We actually do not think anyone should change their lives just because we put pressure on you. We don't want you to conform to our standards. That's not what it is. So we are open to all people. Anyone can walk through the doors of this church and be treated with dignity, with value, be seen,
be honored,
is important, be included in conversations, heard when wrestling through truth. Anyone who would like to enter into this church has a platform and a table with us, and you're welcome. And we are brothers in humanity together. I'm very, very serious about that. I have friends that are gay or people that we've done life with. You know, we've had, we've actually had transgender people attend our church services, and we honor them. And I've talked to them after, and they say, thank you, because you actually loved me. And you weren't afraid of me, and you engaged me, and you talked through this stuff with me. So yes, the statement is, yes, we are open to all people, but we cannot affirm all lifestyles. The reality is everybody wants someone to tell them that they're okay in things that they may be making a choice. You make a powerful choice when you say, I'm going to choose to live my life outside of what the Bible says. That's a choice. Now, I'm not God. I'm not the only person who has an interpretation on the scriptures. Everyone is open to being wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things. I don't think I have perfect theology. I think Jesus does. I think we are obviously open to all peoples, but I, as a lead pastor, cannot affirm all lifestyles. If the Bible doesn't affirm it, I can't say, hey, go cheat on your wife. Why? Because the Bible says that two should become one flesh. I can't say, hey, allow your kids to go do whatever they want in rebellion. I can't do that. The Bible says we shouldn't. You should lead your kids in the way of the Lord to honor their parents. And, you know, the Bible says pray at all times. So I can't say, hey, don't worry about it if you don't pray. I can't just assume like, oh, what the Bible says doesn't matter, right? Well, in this regard, like, I think that it's very, very important that we give people room to process while also not in an effort to please and keep everybody, water down the message and the scriptures themselves and say that they are something they're not, because the Bible is very, very clear in this. Like, there's a design to creation. There is intention behind relationships. And I understand same-sex attraction. I understand the temptations there. I understand that we're living in a broken world, and we have a lot. And I'm not saying that you're a broken person. I'm just saying all of us at some degree are trying to figure our lives out and where to go and what to do with what we feel and what we've experienced. But that does not give me the ability as a lead pastor to lower the standard of scripture to my experience here on the earth outside of God's will or whatever it may be. So your question, where does that line stop? I would say personally, our church is open to all peoples, and we engage with all people, and we love all people, and we invite all peoples to the table, and you're one of us in humanity. I say, as far as what you're allowed to do or not allowed to do, I think we take every situation uniquely. Number one, we pray about it. We've actually had these situations. We actually pray about it. And we go, no, I think this person's heart is really trying to figure out what's going on. Let's give them space to figure it out. Yeah. Then you ask the healthy questions like, okay, well, where are they at in their journey? Are they just pursuing a homosexual lifestyle and abandoning their relationship with God? Are they trying to figure it out? Do they even have a question about, is there any question at all about what the Bible says? Or are they just essentially saying, I'm going to go my direction and there's nothing God can say about it? That's a hard issue, right? Everybody battles things. I've had people come to me and ask me, their son or daughter is getting married, you know, as a gay person, like, what do you do? And I say, well, you love them. You love them. I believe we're supposed to love all people, like, in these difficult situations. So, like, the question is a good question. It's not very simple from my perspective because we deal with people. I put flesh and blood on the issues. And so depending on the person and depending on the situation will determine what we will or won't do or what we will or won't allow. To be honest with you, if you come in and you think you're just going to come in and, like, deny the Bible and deny what's said there, like, there's a pretty strong chance I wouldn't allow you to do anything in the church. That's the reality. You could come in 10, you're open, whatever, but that I probably wouldn't put you in a place where you're influencing people because you've got a heart issue. If you're saying, I'm wrestling and I'm trying to figure this out in the spirit of humility, you're coming in and you're seeking honest truth and you're not coming with an agenda to steamroll everybody with your opinions. Like, I'm not trying to steamroll anybody with mine. I'm just living my life, teaching what we believe and what we're convicted over. I would say we take those case by case basis. So I would probably say, number one, we pray about everything. Every person, we put flesh and blood on the situations. We don't create policies without flesh and blood.
Yeah.
So we look at every situation directly. I don't just put blanket policies out there for people. I sit down, I talk, we pray as a team, and we discern what God's doing, because there may be somebody who comes in who's battling something and God says, no, I want you to stay in this person's life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we may make a lot of room for that person that we may not make with another person. Understand that. Like, we think that fair means that I have to do everything the same for everybody. No, Jesus didn't do that. He said to this person, I'm requiring that you give up everything to follow me. And to this person, I'm saying, keep it all. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that it's not about fair. It's about walking with the Holy Spirit and doing what he's doing. And while we walk with the mind of Christ, right? So never compromising truth, but understanding mm-hmm. that every situation, there's many nuances to it. So in some, an extreme would be, and I want to hear what you have to say. I just want to give my statement on it so everybody can speak on this. In some extremes, yeah, you can't do anything but attend church and receive. And if you're doing that respectfully, we're good. In other situations, it may be, no, we want this person to be on the service team. Like, we want them, they have to be, we want to baptize them and begin to move into whatever it is that God's doing in their life next, right? We take it case by case because, like, the church world would say, oh, well, this is obviously not what the Bible says is the design. Well, I'd say, well, some marriages outside of Christ are not what the Bible designs either. It says, don't be unequally yoked. Are we doing, how are we gauging people that are getting married on spirituality? You know, are you getting married? Like, does a believer marry a non-believer and we decide not to engage with them? Because the Bible says a lot of stuff. So I'm with you. I understand all the arguments. I'll say that I believe when I put the full counsel of God together on the subject, I believe we take it case by case. We know clearly what the Bible says about who we are and what his intention is for us. But we're open to what the Holy Spirit is doing uniquely in each person. So we are open to all people, but we cannot affirm all lifestyles.
Lifestyle is different than somebody or many people struggling with the same sex attraction, but not acting on it. Because I know some people, few, not all that many, but that are have same sex attraction, and they're celibate. They just act on it the rest of their life. I know one, and then someone else I just talked to knows another. There's many out there. They're not just two people, but, like, they're not living a lifestyle, and they're not, like, acting on things. They're not, like, living with somebody, you know, but they have a same-sex attraction.
And talking about that, you know? Can attraction change?
Yeah, I don't know.
Things I was attracted to when I was 20, I'm not attracted to now. you know, at 40.
So, I like, mean, working with people and that being with them in the process of, like, okay, let's being honest and creating a space to be able to talk about it. Like, to say the truth, I have same-sex attraction, and, like, not having shame linked to it. Because shame, whether it, any sexual thing, sexual addiction, with man or woman, like, same-sex or opposite sex, it's huge. Like, sitting in shame. Yeah. For that thing. And so I think it's a conversation that's more than just same sex attraction or a lifestyle, but like sex in a big general subject, like that shame, it doesn't need to be on us. Like, we don't operate under that and like shaming people, but like walk through it with them. Mm-hmm. And like, I think I know a lot of people in recovery from sex addiction. That's one thing, you know, that's huge. There's a lot of childhood trauma and wounds. And then there's the same sex attraction and the lifestyle. And it's just like, there's wounds in everything, whether you're with the opposite sex or not. And so it's like a really healthy conversation to bring up without shame. Like, let's talk about it. It's messy, but let's talk about it, you know? So,
yeah, I think that's a big, you know, a problem, I think, that happens in church culture is like hiding. You know, it's like the word tells us to confess our sins to one another, the things that are going on in our heart. It's like, I think that's like where the enemy can operate, is like when we're in hiding and we're too ashamed to say something. It's like, and that, like what you're talking about, bringing up like childhood trauma or sex addiction or all of these different things, it's like, it's multifaceted, but
oh, yeah,
it's like, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict us. It's like, mm-hmm, there's things that are in my heart that the Lord convicts me of now that I, when, you know, it's like years ago, it's like, I thought that behavior was okay. It's, yeah, like, as you draw closer in intimacy with, exactly, the Lord, it's like, that's really what it's about. It's like, there's all of these things that are part of our flesh and a part of our, you know, our, mm-hmm, earthly body. But, you know, I find that the closer we draw into the presence of God, it's like, that's where we know who our identity, we can see ourselves in Him. And it's like, it's from that seeking Him first that it's like all those other things come into alignment. That's not, good, like pretending like something doesn't exist or that this, it's like we need to work through those things and resolve, good, those things. But it's about knowing who you are. It's like in a culture now in, you know, 2022, where it's all about identity and trying to identify ourselves and put ourselves in these boxes. You know, it's like, I tell my kids this all the time, because it's hard raising teenagers in a culture where it's like, you can, you know, choose whatever you want, really, you know, and it's like, you need to seek the Lord first, like whether it's about where you go to college, whatever, who you marry, whatever. It's like in that relationship where you're seeking God first, it's really, I mean, that's the key. The only peace that I've ever had in my life is like being in a close relationship with God. And it's like, He reveals, like, we have dreams in our heart that we don't even know yet that He put in there. And so it's like, and the enemy tries to take us away from the presence of God. So all these things, any kind of sex, really, it's like takes us away. You know, it's like the Lord wants you to have a beautiful family. He wants to establish you. He wants to bless you. He's so good. And so it's like, I love what you said, Brad, about seeing people and honoring them. It's like, we love people. It's like, that's, yeah, what Jesus did. It's like, it's not my job to hit someone over the head with my belief system. It's so, Jesus.
So people don't, you know? Not many people know this, but someone who is a gay man in our church in the early years, I became friends with them and we talked a lot and I got close to his family a little bit. We actually threw him a birthday party at church, mm-hmm, and loved on him. And we, yeah, never asked him to change. Not, yeah, once. He was with us for a time. We just loved on him because it's the kindness of God that would lead anyone to change anyway. It's not the judgment of God or the wrath of God. It's the kindness of God. And then it's the fear of God that gives wisdom. Mm-hmm. So that's the piece. So, yeah, like, it begins with kindness. That's the, mm-hmm, opening piece to any kind of life change. And if you're not walking in kindness as a ministry, it's not going to, mm-hmm, work. John, we want to keep rolling through the questions. I know it's a big one.
Like, so questions,
yeah, super big questions. So I'll keep my segment a little short here. But to me, when we talk about homosexuality, I feel like what I've learned and seen in the faith is we almost take homosexuality and we put it like on this pedestal of like
behavior.
Yeah, just like, well, that over here is so bad, you know. But really, it's under the category of sexual morality. And we start talking sexual morality, let's talk about the high statistic of men in the Christian church that watch pornography. So if I am tempted or saying yes to a lifestyle of constant pornography, that is a sexual immorality. And there's only one sin that's unforgivable, and that's not homosexuality, that's not sexual morality, which means those sit pretty close to the same subject, right? Dang. They sit under that same umbrella. And I just bring that up because I look at my own life and I look at my own journey with Jesus and my own struggles with pornography and temptation and all of it. And it's like, I need so much grace.
Yeah.
And I need so much love. So if I go to talk to somebody else and maybe their sexual temptations are different than mine, there is absolutely no judgment and it's nothing but grace and love. And all we do is just encourage you to press into the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to you and move in that direction. So that's how I
really
good
and super honest. I think it's all, I mean, great question. Number one, thank you for being brave enough to ask that question. We do believe obviously that we are responsible to steward the Word of God. And that's where we enter this with the fear of God, understanding that, everyone's held accountable at some point for the way they live their life. Right. And so, we enter it with caution and we try to put as much flesh and blood on this as possible because these are real people that we love and that we do life with. And we all wrestle in many ways. And so this is one of the ways that we all struggle. However, like I said, it, you know, are we open and affirming? We're open, but we can't affirm everything. So if you're okay with that, let's roll.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So should I let you pick the last one you guys want to answer? There's a few.
Let me pick.
You want to pick? Okay. Yeah, so either, can I tell you either one, either this one.
Okay.
Okay. Or that one.
That one.
And then this one at the end.
No.
Okay.
The personal one. One is about music we like. The other one's about like
the last one for like the do two.
No, this one. This one's a little more raw. It'll be good for the people. You guys will thank me for this. You will thank me for this. We're almost done.
This is a good one.
Yeah,
you've been going.
So go, Mariah.
Okay, what is your worst personality characteristic? I know mine.
Okay, so you
started. Wait, I did know it. Hang on.
I'm just going to say this really quick.
Go first.
And last week's staff meeting, we were just calling each other out and
we were
accidentally calling each other out.
Personality types.
Yeah.
We were low. We're like, you know what? You're a people pleaser.
Yeah.
That's it. Sorry.
Are you talking to me?
That's what I said. I said that last week. I was like.
Okay, so Mariah, go.
Because you're. Hang on. I just knew it.
Well, you experienced it on a regular basis.
Where's thing? Don't tell me, okay? I already know.
Well, I can talk about mine.
Okay,
Jenny,
you're
go.
Trying to figure
Jenny,
out.
Go.
Okay, so everyone knows that I'm a people pleaser. And so where that has been a bad personality trait is where that becomes, you know, pleasing people over even what the Lord wants or even, you know, running myself into situations where I shouldn't be because I want to please people. I think it's like, you know, you can love people and love them well, but it's good to have healthy boundaries and it's good to know that you need to seek God with the decisions that you're making. And that's sort of like, we've been talking about that with closed doors and different things. It's like, okay, well, what is it that the Lord wants for me? It's like, and that has to do with like our personality. That has to do with the way that we operate in ministry, the way that we serve others. It's really important. It's like, we've all been in church, you know, where there's unhealthy leadership. It's like, we really need to be seeking God and making sure that we're healthy and seeking Him first. But I think that's the thing. It's like, I can people please, but that it's wrong for me to people please if that's where I'm getting all my value from. And, you know, and doing it for the wrong reasons, like for self-praise or to be the hero or whatever. It's like my husband and I have this conversation all the time because he's like, you know, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be everything for everybody. And it's like, I think at a young age, growing up in ministry and just like the family dynamics, it's like I always wanted to be the person who fixed everything. And it was like, I have to do this because if not, then like, who am I? If I don't fix this, if I don't save the day, if I don't give you everything that I own, you know, it's like,
wow.
How are you going to know that I love you? You know, and it's pretty dysfunctional. I mean, it's like,
it is
can
dysfunctional,
be really dysfunctional,
but it makes you a really, really good pastoral leader because you really care about people.
I love
There's
people,
some people
yeah.
that don't care at all, and I see another side of that.
You care.
Yeah, no. I do care. Mariah does care. You know, it's so interesting. She's like a walking contradiction because she like
I do care. I'm very
she says goodbye like to these relationships or whatever, and then yet I'll hear it. So, Mariah's hanging out with so and so from her past, and I'm like, why did she didn't say goodbye to that thing? She's like,
Or
she's going back to Oaxaca after 10 years and she's like, I'm back. She holds on deeply to relationships.
Well, and she'll say, I'm not affectionate. And then she'll be like, hold me closer. I'm like, oh, I guess you like it now.
Yeah, so she's a walking contradiction. So let's go, Mariah. What do you have to say?
Keep going. You can talk about
it's all in love.
I know.
I know. Yeah.
Is it on me?
Yeah, you go.
I feel like, in all honesty, when it comes to worst personality trait, I kind of like to hear from other people around me, because it's more honest than me just evaluating myself.
We're probably not going to do that here.
But we're probably not going to do that here. I get hit hard. I would say it feels like I get hit hard. Anyways, I would say if I were to evaluate myself in this, it definitely has to do with control, thinking that I know what is best, and just overall, really just, I guess just control in general, you know, just that idea that like, I think I know.
I'm super proud of you for like coming to the table with that, because we all have a chance right now to lie.
Yeah.
And you chose, yeah, you chose to be real. And I love this, both of you. That is so amazing.
Yeah. It's good. So it's one of those things that I know, well, it's good that we're like vulnerable, right? And we could talk about it. I know for me, it's just, I just have an idea or a thought in my head, and it's like, this is the best idea, best thought. And I am gotten to a point where I'm very, very open to listening to what's around me. But if I hear something and I don't feel like it's better, then it's hard for me to portray that it's not a better idea.
Yeah.
Now, that's I'm not saying that.
I'm always right.
I'm not saying that that's correct, because, you know, I work with great teams even outside of the church that have much better ideas than me, and I'll come with an idea and then this is a much better idea. So I've learned to be humbled in that to fully. But that is definitely the worst personality trait. And I just want to add, this is, I was given a word like super recently, actually. It got me pretty good. Because as I'm sitting and praying and worshiping, in my mind, I'm like thinking about the next day or thinking about next week. And I'm almost like strategizing it. And you've mentioned this before about X's and O's. And I'm like strategizing these such simple, and I'm like, Lord, I need to like let this go. And somebody comes up to me right after worship and says, hey, I got this word for you. And the Lord just want to let you know that you have this mind, or you're just like always strategizing everything. But in Christ, you have a new mind, and you're renewed, and it's transformed. Wow. And you need to start to see God and everything and the beauty and the canvas of it. So I just correlate that with like 100%. Yes, we can recognize our worst personality traits, but also we can come humbly to the Lord and like, all right, Lord, I'm not good at this. Like, speak to me. So that's where I'm at with it all.
That was good.
Good.
Mariah.
You are an 8. Just kidding. You can't label him. I feel like there's a few things.
She's like, let me list it out.
But already. I know for sure, like, I am a tender human, but I think I come off sometimes as that I'm not.
Oh, I was just going to say, she's like, my worst thing is I cut people off and then I hold on to them.
I know. It's like exactly that. But like creating walls and doing things on my own. Like, yeah, I can handle it all, kind of similar, but it's like, I don't want their love. I just do it for me. Like, I'm just going to do it. There's no one else that's going to do it. I'm going to handle it and create like this like tough exterior thing that like, mm-hmm, I'm a squishy inside, but
you're like the sweetest person on planet. You're so tender inside. And so that's the thing. You're like,
but not a lot of people
see
it.
This is fine. And I'm like, well, okay. Well,
but the thing is, I feel like I guard that and don't let everybody in to like know that side of me. Yeah. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest things.
I'm proud of all you guys. It's really good.
Also, I just want to go.
That's
probably the most. Also, I just want to go somewhere.
Well, that's why me and you. That's why me and you really connect on a ministry level, though, because probably what I would assess is my thing that gets me in trouble the most. My worst personality trait is I'm very impulsive. I'm very, very impulsive. If I want something done, I do it. If I need to respond to something, I can't hold my tongue. Like you know how many times a day I pick up my phone? Shanna will be in a conversation with me and she'll mention something, or somebody will be here and you'll see me go like this. I'm usually texting someone involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes quick. I can't let something sit.
Yeah,
I have to resolve it. I act on it instantly. And so, I don't care if it's at a soccer game. I don't care. I see something, I'm like, hey, what you're doing there was not right. We're going to talk about this. Like, I'm very quick in that. But what's interesting is I've learned to crucify a lot of that. So I don't actually act on all of it, but I'm tempted to act on all of it. So
I know. I've seen you do that before, where you're like, you start and you're like, Holy Spirit, let me respond in the right way. I'm like, okay.
Because I get very worked up over situations sometimes. And then I have to offload that. So either I offload it in prayer or I act on it.
Well, I want to add something. I want to add something really quick, because if you are admitting that as your worst personality trait, I want to say that I'm proud of you, because aww, you've been extremely patient with me, where we'll have a conversation, something very serious, and it'll be like, wait, when did this happen? And you're like, hit me with a date. And I'm like, that was like 3 weeks ago. So great
job.
But
you know why? Do you know why the date's in my mind?
Thank you.
Because I spent 2 hours praying about the way you responded to me.
Right.
You
know,
like, 100%. I know the reality is, anyway, like, there's times that something's happened and it'll throw me and I'll go, don't make a face. Don't make a face. Don't make a face. In my head, I'm
it's
like.
It's usually a people thing, though, isn't it?
It's always
like a connection.
Not always.
Thing?
Sometimes it's an opportunity thing. Sometimes it's a situation thing. Sometimes it's always involving people, usually.
Yeah.
Or. It's not very often involving anything. Yeah, maybe it is a people thing. I don't know. Maybe
I think it's
just
always involving people.
Involving people, because for me, some things that are very, very clear, like that come as a spiritual gift, people are moving in the fog sometimes and they're trying to sort it out. And I go, I see it. Just make the change, or just do this, or just do that. Like it, and not everybody sees the world that way, you know? And to be honest, like that is a different form of fog for some people too. Like for me, the thought that I might see things more clearly than everyone is a form of ego also, you know? So like, I don't have to have all the right answers always. I don't have to have, and just because the way I would do it is not the way everyone should do it. And if God honors my choice, I should honor other people's choice. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, I have to be careful not to carry too heavy of a presence in any conversation.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, whether I'm right or wrong, it really doesn't matter if it's non-essential. It's how am I loving someone in the relationship and through the journey as we do this together? Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, knowing that impulsive, that I am prone to being very impulsive, understand that like I'm constantly miserable because things happen and you want to reach in, or you want to change something, or you want to turn a knob, or you want to have a conversation, but you have to constantly be self-aware enough to go, that doesn't help. That doesn't help. That doesn't help. That doesn't help. So what you get to do is either A, pray about it and release it, or suffer.
Or suffer.
You know?
Well, I think grace is like the big key factor. And that's the thing, like, especially doing ministry with a bunch of people with different personalities, is just realizing like I feel the same way how you are, like, well, I have the best idea, or I have the best answer. And it's like, you know, I think we all are very strong personalities and we view things very differently. And I think we all think that we have the right answer, you know, but it's just being like, having a humble heart,
sit with it,
and
that's
submitting
it's
the
like
Lord.
Even as a lead pastor, a senior pastor who can lead and create culture and do all these things that I always prayed that I'd be able to do, right? I have the ability to actually create the culture that we all do life in. Mm-hmm. And so if I create a culture that I don't want to live in, you know, or I create a culture where people are hiding, to me that's misery, because I don't want to create a culture where people can't be real with one another.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I have like, so what I want now isn't always what I want most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what I want most is that I have a long legacy in ministry and many, many leaders coming up under our church. Mm-hmm. And you create space for people.
Yeah.
And you honor people and you create platforms for people and all this. Like, mm-hmm, that to me is what I want most. And I want, in the end, I would love to see dozens and dozens of high level leaders coming from this ministry doing absolutely awesome things.
Mm-hmm.
That only happens if you create space for people,
yeah,
to process and learn. And you, and preventing people from failing isn't always the best thing for people.
Right.
So you see something and you're like, oh, you're gonna skin your knees up. Sometimes failure is where we learn the best lessons.
Yeah. Well, I think you're the best at that I've seen, in equipping people and just equipping and sending and making space for people. It's like, I think a lot of times, especially like if you have some kind of growth in a ministry, it's like the human instinct is to control the situation and put, you know, controls on people. But it's like, it's like, look at what Jesus did. It's like, it's not about controlling people. It's about saying, come and follow me. And if they do, they do. And then it's a transformed life. But it's like making space to, you know, have healthy conversations, love people well, and make room for their gifts. Because we all have,
right,
you know, an array of different things, you know, and we're all weird in our own ways.
We are weird.
But having grace and loving each other. And that's what, you know, it's like, God doesn't want people to be isolated. He wants to put them in a family. And so I think that's cultivating that family well in ministry, is just loving people and giving them space.
It's interesting, because like the area in our lives that we have, like, for frustrated, and we're trying,
like, this is where I'm working on. You know, we have also a huge breakthrough in that. And, like, on the other side of my walls is, like, vulnerability. And I can pull people in with me. And, like, on the other side of your thing, everyone can, like...
It's God actually thing. Uses yeah. my impulsive nature to get a lot of stuff done.
It's true. You know?
Well, that's,
so,
yeah, that's, how, true.
That's how we're here.
That's how we're here today. You with know how prayer. We're here today? We're like, we we're pray. Starting, period. Like,
but you brought people in with
Matt
you. Matt
Broden, are we going? High five. Matt Broden's our media guy. We rolling. Matt says yes, we're going. That's it.
But bringing people along the ride. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I good. Love it. This is a good, hey, we good can we just tell everybody we love them?
We
thank
love
you for the
you.
Questions.
Be here real. We. For you. this hide. Is we're gonna have more of these, but stay tuned, guys. Whoop whoop. What?
Just say goodbye. That's
bye.
It. Good. Yeah, see ya.
Bye everybody.